Yes, welcome everybody to a brand new Rubby Muscle podcast. In this episode, we are talking Olympic weightlifting with Olympic weightlifter Chris Speed. Chris actually took, he took second place in the English National Championships this past weekend, actually. So we recorded this podcast before he actually entered the competition. But as he did enter it, he got 135 kilo snatch, 161 kilo clean and jerk, and that was good enough for silver place in the English National Championships. That's awesome work from Chris Speed, so congratulations to him. Ahead of the podcast, before you even get to hear all of the knowledge bombs that he puts out for us, we are going to be talking everything Olympic weightlifting, what the sport is, why you could and should be doing it, why you potentially may not want to be doing it in conjunction with your rugby training, how it can impact your rugby training, and all sorts of thoughts along those lines. If you would like to find our show notes, you can always head on over to rugby-muscle.com. And also, in that work with us section, you will find a brand new program, the Rugby Muscle Protocol. This is the protocol or the gym program that has been put in place for guys that really want to do step up their rugby game, but they're also really interested and really passionate about, you know, developing a good physique. It is a 12-week program that can be done either in season or off season that features a bunch of different accessory workouts, including a beach workout, core workout, and muscular imbalance workout. If you're thinking that this is the sort of program that you would like to get into, then we are going to sweeten the deal a little bit even more for you by offering a 55% discount if you buy this protocol in the month of January. This is a protocol or a program that you can reuse time and time again to really develop your physique and improve your rugby performance. So yeah, go ahead and go to rugby-muscle.com/protocol if you're interested in that. Otherwise, go ahead and give us a 5-star review here on iTunes whilst you are listening to this episode with me and Chris Speed. Right, guys, so we are joined here by Chris Speed. How you doing, Chris?
I'm not too bad, mate. How are you, mate?
I'm good. I like I said to you just about 20 seconds ago, I already did the intro for you, so I bigged you up and everything. Everyone now expects you to be the most amazing weightlifter ever. But do you want to give us a quick, because I'll probably forget stuff, do you want to give us a quick 30-second background of yourself kind of thing?
Yeah, I can do. So I don't think it's changed too much from what it would have been the last time I was on, to be fair. I think I've been in weightlifting now competitively. This will be my third year going into this year. Came from like a rugby background like yourself and started doing the Olympics because of that. And then towards like the end of like my rugby career, I realised that like as much as I loved playing, like professional rugby wasn't necessarily like my gig. I liked playing because of like the community aspect. But then I felt like because I could play a bit higher than where I was, I almost felt like, not like I was wasting my time, but like I needed to do something else to push myself. And then weightlifting was obviously it, because I can control pretty much everything and it's more about an individual effort. Whereas you'll know, like when you're on a team, I think I saw one of your Instagram stories where it's like, you know, you can only control so much in a team, but when you're by yourself, you can control most things, which is what I like about it. But that's been pretty much me for like, the last 3 years. And then I coach on the side of that. I coach with my coach at London Olympic Weightlifting Academy in Vauxhall in the centre of London. And that's pretty much been me for like, the last 2-3 years. And not much has changed, to be fair.
Nice. And so now you start, like when you first did the Olympic lift, was it ever with the intention of I want to stand on a platform and lift the most amount of weight above my head, or was it just I want to be a better rugby player and this is what I think can help?
I think it started as I got told to go and look at some articles on bodybuilding.com because that was the only resource we had at school and none of the teachers there, well apart from like one of them, could lift weights. So I learned to do power cleans really early on. Like, I mean, I learned to do cleans like 3-4 years before snatches. And it was a case of, I just knew that that was really cool. And I liked going to the gym as well. So it's kind of, oh, I'll play rugby and I'll just get really strong. Like, it's almost like the two things helped, but I liked just doing the two. So I just like doing those two things. And that's kind of how it was. I imagine that's how it is for a lot of other guys. And then when I started learning to do both Olympic lifts, I thought, oh, this is really cool. But I never made competing like kind of like any kind of aim. Because when I actually thought about it, this was back when like YouTube was a bit more of a thing, weightlifting was more of a thing, but really like it wasn't a widely competitive sport. So you only knew about how to compete in it if you were in it. Like, does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a case of I would be able to compete in it if I wanted to. So now we've got novice meets, everyone's got meets everywhere, and like British Weightlifting advertise all over Instagram saying, if you want to do a meet, you can do it like whenever. But this was a case of, you saw the Olympics, you saw the world, and you saw the highlights of it, and that was it. So I didn't know like that I could compete. And then my coach put out an advertisement out on Facebook, this is before I knew him, just saying, oh, we're going to do a novice meet if anyone wants to come down just for fun. I did one. Then he entered me into my first meet. I think he actually said, you owe me 30 quid. I've entered you into a meet. But after the second time I met him, he basically went, yeah, I've entered you into something. So you need to be free on this day and you need to give me 30 quid. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, fair enough.
Excellent. Yeah. Fuck, man, there's a lot to go in for that, for sure. But, like, that's awesome that, like, you. How old were you when you first did you, when you, where you really did first start to clean? That was it. This was in your house, right? You got your own little
home gym. This was like kind of like in my house. So I started like lifting when I was about 14, like in like the late stages of that year. I can't remember what year you'd be in school for that, like year 11 maybe.
Do me a favor and just pop a little bit closer to your phone or mic or whatever you're on there for us.
Yeah,
beautiful.
You got it.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, so I think like 14 years old, that's what year 11. So I started lifting then. I didn't start doing power cleans until the year after when I can't remember how I learned them. I think I learned them because one of the coaches at Saints, the junior academy, taught me how to do a clean. Then Jamie Bain, who I'm pretty sure you might know of or not.
Yep.
He basically took us all into a room. We were all like a bunch of cults, didn't know how to lift. Well, most of us didn't know how to lift. And basically went, okay, I'm going to show you how to do a snatch. I'm going to show you how to do a clean. I'm going to show you how to bench and squat. Do not fuck it up. And then you need to go do a program. And that's how I got taught. So I was doing all that stuff heavy pretty much from about 15, 16. And I was basically just left to my own devices. And Jamie was already coach, but he had to handle us and the first teamers. So we didn't really get much help as much as good as he was. Like, he went and asked him questions. He was cool. But I basically just got left to my own devices till I was about, I want to say 19. Then I learned to do a proper full snatch and a proper full clean. And then when I got to about 23 years ago, so 22, 23, then I competed properly.
Yeah. Decent. It's definitely it's funny how it all works out in the end, but like I like that. So I think I put up a post, and Ben Brown, who was on the podcast last week, put up a post about, and we actually went on about it for a while, saying about how amazing rugby is because of like the brotherhood and the discipline and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
but sometimes like the competitiveness of it can either, like for him, it was like his injuries. Like he got so many injuries from the sport that he had to, you know, take a step back or whatever. And so he couldn't find that competitiveness. And I think what you've done here is you found your competitiveness elsewhere while still trying to keep the, like the brotherhood. So you're still playing rugby at a low enough, you know, high enough level to, you know, for it to be a challenge of some sort, but not to be a, like, you know, for it not to be something that takes up your entire life. And then you've got your competitive nature from your weightlifting, and actually you've probably gone even further where now weightlifting is definitely taking up more of your life.
Oh yeah, definitely. So I'll still play rugby in like the summer. Like I'll do the odd sevens tournaments and stuff, but the main reason I do sevens and maybe like the odd game of league is just because it lends itself a bit better to one, the weightlifting season in Britain, and when I played union in the winter, just because of the conditions where it's all slippy and sliding, you're always fucking like slipping up and hitting each other like in weird angles. That's when I get injured. It would never be like, you know, you'll always have, like, you always get like guys usually where they'll always have a bit like a hamstring twinge. Like, I've never had something where like I've just been running and something's gone. It's always been someone has clattered me inside of my knee, someone's like kicked me in the head or something like that, where it's been something you can't, like, you can't prevent or you can't predict that's just injured me. So it's kind of like, I accept that's going to happen with both weightlifting and rugby, but I wanted to reduce it as much as possible. And after you're out of the sport for like 2 years, and you try and play a union game again in the winter, it's actually really awful. Like, I can't believe we used to run around when we were kids in, like, T-shirts and shorts in winter thinking it was fine. Like, I don't know when you stop getting
used to it's a certain type of crazy, mate. Like, I've retired, and even now, I mean, I would, like, don't get me wrong, like, if I could still play, I absolutely would, and I would fucking love it. But because I can't play, like, it's funny to do the same thing. So when I was back in the UK for Christmas, I went and watched my old club, and I'm just standing on this mound. It's fucking freezing. Everyone on the pitch is massive. Everyone on the pitch is cold and muddy and wearing shorts, right? And I'm like, when did this become such a great thing? But it is. I don't know.
I think it's I think it's just you get used to it. And then when you're sort of out of it and you get to do other things where that's not the only way you can get, like, you know, your competitive fix, then you actually start going back to it. Either you really like that sport because you love the sport, or you liked it because it gave you something. And then if you find it somewhere else, it doesn't matter as much. I mean, I know Johnny Wilkinson, I think he got asked if, this can be my fact of the day. He got asked if he missed rugby. The difference was when he answered, he said, no, I don't miss rugby. I miss the challenge of it. And now that I found out the challenge is, I don't miss anymore. But apparently when he stopped, he was really like, he found it really hard. As soon as he found another challenge, he was like, oh yeah, I don't even really care anymore. Like, that's done. Like, I'm finished with that.
Yeah. And that's why that's why old boy rugby is still a thing. And because people still want a little bit of a challenge, or they want the brotherhood and then the challenge. Like, you're not just going to meet up with your mates and not play 20 years later. I don't know.
Yeah, I think everyone still wants a challenge. Part of it is just getting together and kind of like dusting it off and sort of like just still having a bit of fun. And then some people, I think they honestly just love it. I mean, I think I was talking to one of the guys, one of the lifters from Ireland, Stuart. He visited today and he said that, one, not enough kids get told when you're younger that you're just not going to be that good. Like, imagine like how many times you've been told, oh, if you just train a little bit harder, if you do this, you might get better. Like, some people need to be told, like, you're not going to get to the level that you want to. So you need to kind of assess what you want to do with it. And some people, like, as fucking, and you'll know, you'll play with some people like this, that as god-awful as they are, they just love it. So then they keep playing literally till the day that they cannot run anymore. Whereas some people, like, if they actually realise, oh, I'm actually not going to be as good as I think I am, they'll quit within a week.
Yeah.
Because they realise that, oh, actually, I'm not going to get to that level I think I am, so I need to go do that and something else. And I've seen it with, like, quite a few people. You get people where, like, they get to, like, let's say, well, you've played over that way, like, Amptill, Cambridge, where you're kind of getting towards the cusp, like, championship level, and they realize when they're into like their mid to late 20s, I'm not actually gonna get that far. They play more socially, and then they go and excel doing something else, like, career wise
yeah, it opens up all that time. Let me put a pin in that, because I want to touch on that we're gonna circle back to this in a sec, because it's it'll actually work really well. But yeah, I want you just to sort of introduce weightlifting as a sport and like what it is, and because obviously people always get confused between powerlifting and weightlifting, and they definitely should be named the opposite names, but whatever.
Yeah, I always think that.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but whatever, we're stuck with it. So you want to explain to me explain to the listeners what Olympic weightlifting is? What is it, the sport, and what outline the sport that you compete in?
Okay, so weightlifting is really simple. It's two lifts. It's the snatch and clean and jerk. It just involves, so the snatch is taking the bar from floor to overhead in just one smooth movement. Clean and jerk's taking it to your shoulders, basically into a front squat, and then getting it over your head from shoulders to overhead in one smooth movement as well. So that's snatch, clean and jerk. It's split into weight classes, and I can never remember all of them. I compete in the 89 kilo weight class, and you'll obviously have like kind of middleweight classes, like light heavies, and super heavies, when it comes to men and females. And then you compete within your weight class, and it's whoever totals the most between the two lifts that wins. So you have to post at least one lift from each. You get three attempts, so three snatches, three clean and jerk. Whoever totals the most combined, best snatch, best clean and jerk, is the one who wins that weight class.
Nice.
And that's kind of like, that's the competition in a nutshell. It's literally just who turns up on the day and who lifts the most combined out of those two.
Yeah. And as you said earlier, like, it's not a sport where it's growing and growing and growing. And mostly due to CrossFit, let's just be honest.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's because of CrossFit.
Because CrossFit has marketed fitness in a way that no other fitness brand or whatever has, and it's included clean and jerk and snatch as staples. And then people have sort of come away from that and gone, oh, I don't fancy being absolutely fucked out of my ass, tired all the time, but this lifting heavy over my head's pretty cool. And so weightlifting, the sport, has absolutely grown from that. And they've done a lot of their own things to keep growing. But yeah, it's grown in popularity massively over the past couple decades, at least the last decade, like massively. And that's as a result from CrossFit.
Yeah, I'd say that CrossFit's obviously made it grow a lot. And I think CrossFit, if you look at it, they're a lot higher levels, like the really elite levels. So I don't know how many CrossFit boxes you have around your way, but I've been into ones where they're competitors. So they have competitors there. So like, who's the woman from Sam Briggs. So Sam Briggs' gym, T1 in Manchester, that is full of people who are basically borderline. They could go to regionals or their competitors. And you can tell by the kit that's in there, the way they train, it's like absolutely amazing. Like, they're literally practicing heavy snatches, heavy clean jerks, back squats 1 minute, handstand walks, muscle ups. Like, they're literally they're the jack of all trades, but they're pretty close to being pretty elite in quite a few of them.
Yeah,
whereas
sure.
normal CrossFit for general population now, we actually have a gym next was called CrossFit Sleven, which is actually really, really good. And they've stepped back from the model of like CrossFit and they've kind of almost made it so it's not HIIT training, but you're still doing the barbell movements, you're still involving that kind of core CrossFit where it's about conditioning, it's about doing lots of different movements and being good at lots of different things, but they've kind of, a lot of CrossFit boxers have taken their own spin on it. So since they've come back from Olympic weightlifting, lots of people still want to get into it. So it's kind of almost created more of a gap so that we've actually had people from that CrossFit gym next to us go, well, I want to do more weightlifting. They send them to us. And some people want to do more CrossFit. So then they go back to them. Oh, and it's sweet. There's more of a separation now where CrossFit gives you a taste of everything.
Yeah.
But before it was, oh, we're going to give you a taste of everything, but the heavy lifting stuff's really what we want to do. Now it's, no, you have to be good at everything. But,
yeah, you do, really. And yeah. I think it's also like kind of what you said as well. It's like some people, hey, I'm pretty strong or whatever, and I can be really good at this weightlifting thing, but maybe I'm not going to be as good at CrossFit, you know, or whatever. I can get into shape doing this weightlifting thing. Maybe it's, and I don't have to be as knackered as all the time as I can with CrossFit or whatever it is. But yeah, we get a lot, you know, that's why weightlifting has grown out of nowhere. Let's all be honest. And it's great. It's good to see. But yeah, it's not the sport that we spoke about on the previous podcast where it's squat, bench and deadlift. And it's called Olympic weightlifting because it's in the Olympics. So
yeah, at least for now. Yes. We'll have to see what happens for the next one.
Yeah, we'll see. Because it is a tested sport, unlike a lot of the other barbell sports, it's completely clean. Like there are no untested federations or anything. So yeah, they've come into a lot of trouble with the old Rushkis and the Russians and the Chinese, I think.
Yeah, that whole situation is very kind of, it's very strange. It's not as simple as what people think it is, where it's a case of, oh, these people got caught for doping. It's not as simple as they test you positive on the day. Like some of these people are getting retested and then retested again.
Well, and they're going back and testing up, make like retesting old tests as well, right? And they're like, oh,
yeah.
This
oh yeah,
through
well,
the
that,
system,
that is what they go back.
Now
and
we've
do.
Now we've tracked this cover up, but. Man, we are going so down. We are opening up several rabbit holes here, and I'm going to try and pull us out of them, and sort of move towards just talking about how Olympic weightlifting can benefit your rugby game.
Yeah, so I would say that the way it could benefit is the main thing that I'll say straight off the bat. And I know that one guy that I talk to a fair bit, who I actually like speaking to about general strength conditioning stuff, that's Sam Portland, and I think he's called Sportland.
Yep, Sportland, he's coming on the podcast as well. So
good. No, that's a great shout, mate. But I was talking to him about it, and he's very much, you can do the Olympic lifts for rugby, but there's other things you can do that achieve the same thing. I think the beauty about the Olympic lifts is there's a bit of a different mindset that goes to them. Usually people like to go heavier on them because you can test them a bit more than, let's say, like a triple extension, like med ball throw overhead or like a trap bar jump. And so there's a bit more, they can see the incremental progression there. And also, I think the other thing is that even though it's not plyometric in nature, like in terms of you're not sort of jumping and landing into the floor, because you're getting triple extension quickly into what is basically triple flexion, you're still learning how to explode against resistance and then absorb that resistance as well, stacks quite well. And I've got to say that from doing snatches and power cleans and front squats, just like that combination of the three, I did notice I got more game fit, as in I was a bit harder to bring down and I felt more solid in contact. Now, I learn things a lot quicker, and I'm learning this across time. I learn things a lot faster than most other people do. So if you don't pick up things very quickly in terms of lifting, Olympic lifts might be something you learn long term. But if you pick up stuff quite quickly, like a hang power snatch and a hang power thing would actually be quite good for rugby. And because of it, it lets you train moving fast and being powerful at different speeds. So if you've got like basically like a winger who's very, very quick, very, very rapid, he knows how to just burst forwards, but you want him to get a little bit more starting pace, accelerate off the mark, and you also need him to be able to burst through contact. Well, then he needs to be able to move fast against the resistance. And Olympic lifting is that one where, because of the way you load it and because of the way the movements go, you have to move fast against a heavier weight, and you can vary what load you do that against. Whereas, let's say a back squat, when you're doing speed back squats, and I'm doing a little like kind of like the finger gesture, the quote gesture there, you can do a speed back squat slowly. You can't really do a hang clean that slowly.
Right.
If you're doing a hang power clean, which is one of the benefits. But again, the drawback is you might not triple extend, which is one of the benefits of it. If you're not getting hip and leg extension, there's not as much point. But that's the thing that I did like about them, is that I noticed that my acceleration got better and actually being able to drive through contact got better. And even the variation, so like a hang snatch pull or a clean pull or something of that nature, or a snatch high pull would be very good for rugby because it develops a lot of different things. So instead of having to do a jump and then deadlifts, and then shrugs, and then something else, you get to put a lot of these movements into the same exercise.
Yeah, so it's a lot of bang for your buck.
The same thing. Yeah, 100%. And then it's kind of like working out. So, and you'll know, you'll see people that you've coached before. You can look at them and the way they move and the way they learn things and to see, is it worth me taking the time to teach the Olympic lifts and then receive that bang for your buck? Or is it going to take so long, I might as well do something else? And that's something that a coach has to do. And that's something that some college coaches do quite well, or they do badly, in like American football and rugby. And it's something that some PTs do well and some do badly, where you look at someone, you know whether they can use it or not. But it's the same thing as anything. Like, if you've got someone who in rugby just doesn't respond well to, let's say, kicking side on like a certain way, let's say like Dan Carter does, where he approaches the ball completely side on and swipes at it, then you're not going to have them do it. You're going to have them kick in a different way. So if you know someone needs to develop power, but they can't do an Olympic lift properly, then you just get them to do something else. You get them to do a variation. It's the same kind of thing. It's a tool. And I think it's a really great tool. And I've always been really biased. But at the same time, you need to make sure that the Olympic lift isn't the only tool you have. You need to have substitutions and variations, obviously, which is something that you'll obviously know, you'll have talked about in the podcast before. And I just think that they're there as an option. They're a really great option, but still, they're just that. They're just an option.
Fuck. So you're saying that it's not the be all and end all?
No, I'll never, mate. But I think both me and you have probably had that stage in our PT or athletic careers where we thought, oh, this is what I need to do. This is like the answer to everything. And now we're more of the kind of people who shrug and go, well, it depends. Depends on what you're doing. Well, it depends on who you are. Well, it depends on
that's literally my most common used phrase by a mile is, well, it depends. Or what's the context? And we must have said it every episode this year. Like, it always does depend. And you did a really good job of like dissecting exactly why it's good or when it's good and how it is. You said it, you hit the nail on the head when you said it's a tool. It's not the be all and end all. You don't have to improve your snatch to get a better to be a better rugby player. You don't have to improve your clean. You don't have to do any of those. But or if you do them, we're not saying that they suck, or we're not saying that they actually will guarantee you an improvement. We don't know. Yeah. Like unfortunately, that's why we're doing a podcast on this, right? It's a massively grey area.
Yeah, and it depends on, again, your coaching background and where you are. Like, I know that like all the West Side, well, I say the West Side stuff, it's not specifically West Side, but anyone who's powerlifting or weightlifting knows that West Side, if you say, oh, we're going to use bands or chains, most people will think to that. Whereas a lot of colleges use those. And I think my friend Rob went to, Oregon, that was it. He went to Oregon to do some interning and shadowing. And he asked them why they like to use chains. He's a very scientific guy. So he was like, oh, do you use it for these reasons? Use it for speed, strength, use it for the waves. One of the head strength coaches, we went, well, yeah, we do use it for that. But he said, but if you get 50 lads, split them across a bunch of squat racks, I'll say you're going to squat the chain and you need to move the bar fast. And you've got chains rattling everywhere. You've got bars bending. They're going to get competitive. They're going to get rowdy and they're going to do something good. And I think the same can be said of, let's say, like a power set or a hang or a power clean. When you've got like, let's say 15, 20 lads in a room, they're all split onto separate bars. And you're saying, okay, we're going to go for basically a one rep max on a power clean. If that's what you're doing that day. And people are going to start to, they're going to start to get a bit competitive and you're probably going to get a lot out of them. Whereas if you say, oh, we're going to do trap bar jumps for 40 kilos, you're probably not going to get the same energy because there's just not that measurement there. And there's not that idea that you can progress and do better than the person next to you, or that you can progress as a group on something that feels like you're putting a lot of effort and power into it. So I think while there's ways around that now, I think that's still one of the reasons why a lot of strength coaches use it, because in a team setting and in an individual setting, there's something a bit nice about you being able to hit a heavy squat, a heavy bench, a heavy power clean, which is a little bit hard to replace in some ways, I think.
Yeah, I think that's definitely one aspect I noted down as to why like weightlifting can help, is because like when you're dealing with medicine balls and bands and that's extension that way, you don't have a solid, you know, black or white number of how much force you're putting in, or it's a lot more difficult to get, especially if you're just the player. You know, you haven't got a tick or a cross as to have you made that lift or not. And so I think when we do Olympic weightlifting for rugby, like, it's quite cool to see, oh, I was only able to clean 60 kilos last week and now I've done 10. So clearly something's worked. And it's, yeah, you know, you can definitely bump up your numbers just by improving your technique, which means you might not be a better rugby player. But
oh yeah, and you've got to remember as well is that I think, is it Dan John was saying that he noticed when the guys, especially the running backs, started doing that, like, more sprinting with sleds and more sled drive, that weird thing they have where they've got basically a tackle pad attached to the sled, they basically punch it and drive it. He said that a lot of the lads got worse the first week they started the season, like the preseason doing that. Then all of them, their power things went up. And I think a lot of people need to realise that the same way that not just playing rugby, like just playing every single day, like for all three sessions a week and the game, isn't going to make you a better rugby player. You have to work on skills and different physical requirements. That's the same for weightlifting. So with the amount of sled dragging you do, with the amount of wrestling that you do in rugby, with the amount of running that you do, about sprinting, running and cutting and all this stuff that's working on basically different strengths, because that's what it's going to work on. It's going to work on different strengths and speeds, does carry over into lifting. And that's why you can get guys where the only thing they ever do is, and I think I remember watching one of the Tongan boys at Ampton, I think it was Villy, literally all he did was fucking neck rehab exercises, snatch high pulls and power cleans.
Yep.
And he was literally like, he was one of the strongest people I ever saw at any of those exercises. But it's because when you then go and watch them play rugby, you're wrestling people, you're having to basically manipulate and manhandle people, then you're having to sprint, you're having to run, cut and jump. So all of your multi-directional stuff, a lot of your strength is taken care of. So then you're almost just displaying them and fine-tuning them in lifting. Whereas for a weightlifter, when they just go, oh, I'm just going to snatch clean and then do some squats, like it don't work because you're not doing anything else to develop yourself. But by having those two things that bounce back and forth, that's how you kind of end up developing both. That's why you get some players who are brutally strong, like their powerlifter strong or their weightlifter strong, even though all they do is a few lifts once or twice a week.
Yeah, I mean, and we've said that in a recent podcast as well about how a lot of in-season, and this will be, I guess this can be like our last sort of pro thing for Olympic weightlifting and how it benefits you rugby-wise, is that like, a lot of in-season stuff is about trying to minimize the stress, right? Trying to not be beaten up so much, trying to get as much work done, but also make that recovery. And Olympic weightlifting, like high pulls, cleans, those sorts of things are great because you can get a lot of effect without a lot of volume and you still feel like you've worked hard. And you can do the same thing with other movements, but you're never going to quite get the same effect as you would do for the same amount of work as you would put in for the Olympic lifts and those sorts of variations. And
yeah, I think, I'd say the lack of eccentric loading probably helps a little bit, or as long as you're good at the Olympic lift variations, like you're sound.
Yes, well, that's
eccentric loading's not as large, so it's probably a little bit, well, I'd say it's negligible to a point, but it's probably a little bit less stressful with some of the things.
Well, yeah, that's where we're going to go into like any potential sort of drawbacks to Olympic weightlifting. Is that like obviously the first one is you have to have your technique like completely spot on, or not completely spot on, but you have to have it at least in like the top like 90% or whatever. Like you have to have it has to look good, and what looks good will be different for each person that does it, but to look good to get the effect.
I think it's one of those things where I think that not everyone necessarily needs to have like the most perfect technique in the world. But it's like, so when you do a snatch or clean, is your back flat? Are you extending your legs, pointing your toes and actually squeezing your glutes to the top? So are you getting extension through the lower body?
Yeah.
And then are you catching it in a safe way? So on a snatch, that's just, are your arms extended more or less over or slightly behind your head? Yeah. On a power clean, are you racking it in a natural front squat position? And not that weird thing you see where people almost like somehow catch it below their collarbone and then flick it up. That's like, so the easiest way I can describe it is, okay, so do you fit those lower body requirements? Are you gripping the bar properly? And are you happy with the whole lift being on Instagram? Or do you think you're going to end up on Gym Fails?
Yeah.
But that's literally like, if you think you're going to be on Gym Fails with your heavy attempts, then go back and learn it again. But if it's like your heavy attempts are a little bit ropey, like, you know, you get the odd lad where like they catch their like one rep back tank clean, it's a bit swingy and like they get shrimp back, they go like Ninja Turtle a bit on the catch. But when they're at 70, 80%, they're fine. Mate, let them have at it. Because like on a back squat, I bet you anything, like on a one rep max, when you test them out of season or in season, whatever it is, there's going to be a little bit of form breakdown because there is on everything. Yeah. And same on a deadlift, there's going to be a bit of form breakdown. I mean, if the form breakdown was so large on a squat or deadlift, you just have them draw back the weight and work again. And the same thing goes for Olympic lifts. If their form goes a bit, 100%, as long as they've not hurt themselves, if it's just a little bit, like it's a little bit hairy, then
but as long as you've hit those key markers that you said, then you're good, right?
Yeah, and obviously there's other stuff that goes into it and we can fine-tune the other bits. So really, like, it should be one of those things of you make it as simple as possible so they're ripping through a weight using triple extension and having to brace against something that's basically fighting against them.
Yeah.
And that's the main benefit of it. And the drawback is if you're doing the Olympics on the floor, they don't correlate as well to anything. As in, like, they correlate kind of to vertical jumps. From looking at some studies, I haven't looked at anything new in a while, but one of the things that correlated most to sprinting vertical jumps. And I feel like broad jumps as well was hang clean from above the knee.
Yeah.
I'm hang power clean because there's an eccentric loading. It's a fast eccentric load. And then because of the joint angles, because when you do a hang clean above the knee, you're not dipping down that low.
Yeah, you're more like in a position squat. That's similar to the sport or any.
It's a general athletic position where you're kind of like you're half squatted down, you're half hinged, you're bent over, and you have to actually be on the ball of the foot, like the middle of your foot, to be ready to go. And you're braced against the weight, your back's braced. So it kind of carries over a bit more, but it's the eccentric load that starts the movement that's important. So that is more for acceleration. I know some people use, some people call them rhythm cleans or like heaving cleans, where you go one rep after the other, just dush, dush, dush. And you just keep going and going and going. So basically you rack it. As soon as you rack the bar, you bring it back down to the hip and go again. Those actually are used a lot by sprinters and are very good.
Yeah.
But that's one variation. If you wanted to make the clean very specific, that's one thing that a lot of track athletes use to kind of try and develop that elasticity whilst producing a lot of force. And then, but to be fair, like a hang clean and a hang power snatch, I think for most people, if they want an Olympic lift for rugby or any other sport, would be about as far as they need to go. Then just develop those. And then if you actually like doing the full lifts, do the full lifts, but probably actually look at maybe competing at some point.
Yeah,
if you can actually do the full lifts pretty well.
I think if you're doing the full lifts, like where I see the drawback of doing the full lifts, like you can definitely do them. And like, if you want to compete, obviously you've got to lift from the floor. But it's just that transition of getting from the floor to above your knee. There's a lot of room for the bar or your body to end up in an incorrect position or a poor position, and therefore you're not going to get the effect because you've your body's not in the right position because
you've that is an easy
messed yourself up going from the floor to your knee.
Oh yeah, going from the floor to the knee is like a bit of a shit one, and one of the easiest ways to solve that is if they want to learn to go from the floor, get them to do obviously hang or snatch or power clean above the knee, and then literally just get them to go from just below the knee on a hang, then just above the floor. So I know that Max Ater has a really annoyingly scientific word for it, but it's really good, is instant of inception. So if you imagine the moment the bar would leave the floor, do a hang snatch from there or hang clean, and then when you do anything from the floor, pick the bar up, pause at or just above the knee, then snatch it. So do pause snatches and then slowly take the pause away, and you'll slowly be working for what. That's one of the easiest ways to start actually giving someone a feel for what it's like if you want to learn to lift from the floor. And then also a good cue is when you're pushing off the floor, push the floor away and pretend your legs are longer than they are. So you actually need to get your knees back out of the way, and that will help. Those are like the easiest.
Yeah, pushing the knees back is huge. I think just not thinking about it being a deadlift, but thinking about your sole job of lifting a bar, and this is why weightlifting is a sport, and we're not necessarily talking about it helping you at rugby. Your whole objective is being in the right position once the bar gets to your knee, because that's where all the power starts coming in. It's not about lifting and lifting as hard as you can off the ground or anything like that. It's simply getting the bar as efficiently as you can to the power position so that you can finally actually hoik that bar up and do the lift properly.
Yeah, and that's exactly how we teach it to all of our beginners. We kind of try and teach it. You need to get the bar past the knee so you're in shape above the knee.
Right.
And then when you get to the stage where like I'm at, where on, let's say, snatch, I move the bar very well to the knee, but then I don't move it well after that. So you kind of start segmenting it up. So our idea is that you want to move fast to the knee and faster past it. But then obviously when you're a beginner, you can only move so fast with the bar anyway.
Yeah.
So then going kind of, okay, go slow and smooth
to
the
knee. So you just have to do a lot of practice. And I think...
Yeah,
so That's why that's the biggest drawback of the Olympic lifts is the technique that you have to do, and it just takes a lot of time to do. So I think in order to get around that, we've mentioned some good different variations that you can do, so you can still get a good training effect. But understand that if you are just trying to learn the Olympic lifts, either for the sport or especially for the sport, you have to make sure that you're in a position to learn the lifts without actually seeking a training effect. You're not going to get a good training effect from 3 months of learning how to snatch from the like real basic stuff. You'll get your technique of snatching is going to improve, and then eventually you'll have the benefit of having a really good snatch. And you get all the benefits that come from that. And so it's like, it's almost like investments, right? It's you're spending your time learning technique is investing in hopefully getting a better effect in the future. But if you don't wish to do that, and if you want all the, you still want the effects, there are other ways of doing it. You just get to miss out on having that big bang for your buck, that, the effect that you get from receiving the bar, and all of that sort of stuff, and the fun aspect of it. You have to do it other ways. And that's fine if that's what you want to do.
Oh yeah, and I think it's one of those things where like some coaches use it as an earmark, like even on like I can't remember if it's Greg Cook or Paul Cech who does it, the FMS test, the functional movement screen.
Yeah.
Cook. I think it's Cook. He has like the overhead squat and what I'm pretty sure is an overhead lunge. So essentially the split jerk position in, like he literally just uses them as requirements. So can you actually just get into that position, but he doesn't load them, which is one of the things where I get a little bit weird about is that, well, it, for a start, the lunge is done on like a basically a tightrope and then you can't load it. So I want to see what some people like under load, because like you'll know, you'll get girls who usually always for some reason dancers with the dance background are the worst for it. They can get into lovely positions. As soon as you put any pressure, like force on it, they just fold. And you get some guys like that as well, whereas they can hit wonderful positions as soon as like any posture you want. But as soon as you load it and put resistance on it, they fold. And that's why you get some lads who are nippy and really quick with rugby. But like if they get caught by like a weak arm, they can't run through the tackle. They literally just get smashed to the floor because they can hit positions, but they're weak. So they can hit the position. They've got the mobility, but they can't hold it. Which I think is one thing that maybe Olympic lifts are good for building, but also test, is like if you can do let's say a power snatch and an overhead squat with 100 kilos, I'm going to throw it out there and guess your problem with breaking through tackles or with playing on the rugby pitch isn't your core strength or your power. Like, regardless of what size you are, if you can snatch 100 kilos and you're 100 kilos, like you're around 100 kilos or less as a bloke, your problem probably isn't core strength.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Definitely not.
And I think, but that's where you said about core and power. Not core power, the shakes or the yoga thing that you can do, but your core and your power are definitely massively benefited from effective Olympic weightlifting.
Yeah, but there's other ways to build them, like we're saying, and the mobility that you test when you do an Olympic lift also is something you can build elsewhere. So is it a kind of thing where your team program, if you had one, has power snatches and hang power cleans in it, and then you get someone who can't do them, so you do a load of other work with them?
Yeah, it's something that you can use.
That's the magical aim is that's how a lot of like the countries like Russia and China actually screen people. They give you a bar, show you a snatch, and be like, okay, do something like this. And if it's a bit like, obviously the technique's not going to be bang on, but if it looks more or less right, then like, okay, yeah, you're ready to do it, or yeah, you're going to be a good athlete. So that's the way you can check, you can test someone's general athletic ability. Is okay, so we've worked some ability with, we've worked some strength stuff. Okay, now do a snatch with a 20 kilo bar, and if they do it more or less, then you know, oh well, everything's pretty well rounded. But then if there's something like they catch the bar, but their elbows are turned in and they can't press it overhead, it's like, all right, well, we've got some work to do. Because really, like, even though you don't need them to Olympic lift, like, how bad is it if you've got a second row who can't raise his arms behind his head straight together?
Yeah.
For a line out. So he can't lean back. Yeah. He can't lean back at all. Like, he's losing 5-6, probably more inches than that in reach for a line out because he can't reach behind his ears. And that's quite a big thing. And even though that's a bit of a roundabout way of looking at it, it does serve a point. Like, you need the mobility to be able to do, I think, an overhead squat and probably a power snatch.
Yeah.
And you need to be able to get that hip extension. You need to be able to sit into like a hang power snatch position without rounding at the back, without the knees coming in, without coming onto the toes. And if you can do that, you can train the lift, but you probably don't need to do it because you've built what you need to.
Yeah. So you can almost use the lifts to get that mobility as well. I found that's like, in fact, we'll touch on that in the next podcast, because that's one of our questions for the Q&A. And just two more things I kind of want to point out, because we're going to put a pin in this here. Firstly, like we've spoken a lot about power and breaking through tackles and stuff, but I want to address like outright speed. Acceleration maybe, but outright speed, I can tell you for a fact that I got a lot slower when I took a year off from rugby and all I did was Olympic weightlift. Like, I got significant.
I think that'll be because I've seen you Olympic lift. And I know that the way you used to lift is very much what I'd call, like, it's basically muscle-based. So you did it through producing tension to create the right bar path and basically almost not muscling it into place. But if anyone's ever watched Klokov lift, if you look at him lift, the bar's moving fast and no one can deny it, but he doesn't look quick. Like, he looks quite tense through the whole lift because he's using that muscle tension to control the bar and put it where he wants it. Whereas some other lifters, you'll find, it almost looks like they stand up, they tap the bar to their hip and they're under. They use more, basically, they're using contract, relax, they're using stretch reflex, they're using more of their fascia and stuff to lift the bar. So I think the way that you lifted was very much, it was perfect for the way you're naturally built. But when you were working on rugby stuff, I bet you the actual amount of speed work you were doing, the top speed technique stuff you were doing, was what you were doing quite a lot. So the weightlifting stuff has made you better at acceleration, at driving through contact, the stuff that you're already great at. So it's amplified it.
Right.
But then it's kind of, it's not made you any better at the stuff you had to work at. And top
no, I got
speed
worse
is,
at the skill of sprinting.
Oh, yeah. And you see it with like sprinters with 60 to 100 meters. So think about 40 meters on a rugby pitch. That's not that far. So obviously if you've got, and I can appreciate that, like, obviously if you're 60 meters out or 100 meters out from scoring a try and you've got to run in a straight line, it is very different. But think of that, 60 meters and 100 meters, the distances are not that different to sprint in, but it's been shown that if you're a 60 meter specialist and you're doing sprints and you're doing splits, even if your 100 meter time gets better, your 60 meter time will often get worse. And if you train the 60 meters, your 60 meter time can get better, but your 100 meters might get worse.
Yeah.
So it's all about that top speed
prioritizing
portion, little,
what you're trying to get better at.
Yeah.
And
oh God, yeah, that last
thing, like, Olympic lifting isn't a good way to get faster. Like, the best way to get faster, if that's what you want to do, is sprint. Olympic lifting can help with the acceleration for sure, but it's
Olympic lifting would do what I call it, kind of like, it updates the raw hardware, and it updates kind of like, it's kind of like updating the raw hardware in a computer and updating the RAM.
Yeah, I like that.
That's basically what it's like, but you've not put the new software in to actually run it yet. So you may be powerful as fuck, you may be really, really good, but if you've not updated the software to actually learn how to run and cut, and also how to contract and relax quicker, you're not going to be there. So the Olympic lifts teach you to produce force more, and they're kind of bridging the gap between, they're right in the middle of kind of plyometrics and sprints and heavy lifts, but they're still not sprints. They're just not. So even though you can learn certain things that will help with sprinting, it's just, you still need to be doing sprint specific plyometric work, because there's more relaxation and like ease of movement involved in sprinting. Whereas weightlifting is more about actually producing maximal force, whereas sprinting is maximal force with each step and learning to sustain it. And for that, you have to be really relaxed. Whereas weightlifting, you have to be relaxed, but not to the same degree.
Yeah. I also think it's also about the direction of the force is a huge thing. And technique, obviously, just the actual just technique of sprinting is what a lot of people miss. So that's great. And then the last thing I want to say, we put a pin in that last, in the early doors when you were saying about weightlifting sort of opening up your competitive nature because you realized that you could be good at it, and by sacrificing rugby, you got really good at it.
Yeah.
And how people knowing in the future that they might not be good at a thing might not venture into it as much. Weightlifting, this is massively prevalent for weightlifting because it's only starting to grow. Yeah, it's still quite a small sport. And so you can pick it up in your 20s or even in your 30s and be relatively successful, especially when you're looking at like masters weightlifting and stuff. But understand that, like, if you want to take on weightlifting, the downside, but also one of the main appeals for what drew me to it is that it is really, really, really fucking hard, right? You spend years and you add maybe 5 to 10 kilos to some lifts, and you make tiny technical changes to your lift, and you're lifting the same weight, just a little bit faster, or it looks a little bit smoother. And then there'll be weeks and weeks where you just feel ground down and you don't make any PRs. And sometimes that just happens. And it's like, it's as hard as rugby in terms of trying to, yeah, in terms of the physicality of it and how hard and the mental effort and stuff like that. But you don't have the brotherhood unless you join a good club or a good weightlifting club. It's just a really, really difficult sport. And you can take that as a good thing or a bad thing, but it is one of the toughest things that you will do if you want to pursue Olympic weightlifting as a sport to compete in.
Okay, yeah. So it's measured in a very like narrow way. Rugby is measured in basically the same sort of way in terms of who scores more points than the other, but there's lots of different ways to score points and there's lots of different ways to stop people. Whereas with weightlifting, it's literally, okay, so have you snatched more? Have you clean and jerked more? Like, it's two questions.
From competition to competition.
Yeah, it's competition to competition. The worst part about that is, as well, it's very narrow in the way it's measured and it's very sparse. So when you actually look at weightlifting competitions, there's a domestic meet, which is basically just whatever meet you go to at any club. You've got regionals for North and South now. Then you have English champs and British champs. People will typically only do 2 to 3 meets a year. So you've got 2 chances a year
to
show that you've improved.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. Do you want to just drop a note to see where guys can follow you if they don't already?
If you want to follow me, the best place is Instagram. That's where I post most of my stuff. It is just all lowercase, no spaces, k.speed. So KDOT speed.
And then the gym that I train at and the people I work with, the coach that I work with, is Team Lower. So Team LOWA. And that's just on Instagram as well. That's the other best place to follow us. And then teamlower.com. And again, all lower space in the case. Those kind of, that's all my plugs. If anyone wants to look at anything like programming wise or anything, it's all on there. And all my information that I put out is usually, most of it's free on Instagram as well. So if you want any more stuff on weightlifting or general performance stuff, it'll be on there.
Yeah, cool. And this will all be in the show notes. You should be able to either click it through iTunes or go to rugby-muscle.com and get it all there. So Chris will be joining us in the next Q&A episode coming up shortly. But for now, guys, we'll see you in the next one. All right, guys, thank you very much for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, or if you've enjoyed any episode of the Rugby Muscle Podcast, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating and type a quick review. It takes about a minute, and it really helps us out a ton, helps grow the show, helps grow Rugby Muscle. And in turn, we'll be able to give you guys the best quality content, information, and programs that we possibly can. If you're interested in any of that stuff, like the free physique nutrition video series, or the TJ Strength Supplement Guide, or the 50 free rugby conditioning sessions, you can find them all at rugby-muscle.com, or by going through my Instagram profile at tj.strength. Give me a quick follow. And until next time, guys, I've been your host, as always, TJ. See you soon.